We now move into chapter 13. We'd like to read the first four verses of that chapter. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram left Egypt and took all that he had, and traveled into southern Canaan to Bethel, the last place where Abram had built an altar, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. It was there that he had been in fellowship with God before the decision to go into Egypt. When he arrived in the place of the altar, verse 4, there as he had previously done in happier days, he called on the name of the Lord. Here, we believe, Abram confessed his sins and sought to return to the full fellowship of the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Abram was, no doubt, there restored to the full fellowship and joy of the Lord. He'd learned a hard lesson, a lesson which we today can avoid if we can learn it by studying about Abraham rather than by having to experience it the hard way. Verses 5 through 11 of Genesis 13 say, and Lot also which went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord restored Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Although we must believe that Abram and Sarah had been restored to the full fellowship with the Lord, the experience in Egypt had been observed by Lot and their servants, and probably had an adverse effect on them. They may have lost some of the deep admiration they felt for Abram, and begun to be more interested in their own affairs. They had also returned from Egypt with much more wealth, and this also may have had an adverse effect among their priorities in life, making them more mindful of temporal things than of spiritual things. And now we read that there was serious friction between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. This also affected Abram and Lot's relationship with each other. And this would make a bad impression on the Canaanites around them, giving them the wrong idea of what kind of people God's people should be. Just as they had given a very poor example to the Egyptians of how God's people should behave, material possessions of God's people, especially if acquired by worldly methods, often lead to such problems. Under such circumstances, the best solution would be for the believers so affected to simply separate from each other. Continued close contact under such circumstances will only generate more friction, even if the intentions were good. And as sad as it may sound, sometimes today in the church, it is better for two sides who are having continual, unresolvable conflict to separate rather than to destroy the influence of the entire church and the community by continued strife and bickering. So this situation was advised by Abram. Rather than seeking to perpetuate a forced and non-genuine union, he saw it would be better to have a complete geographical break with Lot and his herdsmen. There would still be plenty of open land in Canaan, so there was no reason to strive over the same land. Since God had proven to Abram that he would take care of him wherever he was, Abram offered Lot the choice of the fields. Verse 9 says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. As the elder patriarch of the family, Abram should have had the priority and been allowed to choose his own area. But he graciously offered the choice to Lot. Instead of allowing Abram to choose first, as he should have done, Lot took the opportunity to choose what he thought was the most advantageous place. The luxury and excitement of Egypt had made him no longer content to be a stranger and pilgrim in the land, Hebrews 11:13. So verse 10 of chapter 13 says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Lot observed the plain of the Jordan River as it flows into the Salt Sea. This area had five prosperous modern cities, and Lot decided that that was where he would like to be. This area is almost unbearably hot and desolate now, but in Lot's time, there was evidently abundant rainfall in the region. The temperature was also much more pleasant than now, and this is probably because of the lingering effect of the Great Ice Age far to the north. According to verse 10, this plain of Jordan was as the garden of the Lord. Lot regarded this as being very near to the luxuries of Egypt, like the land of Egypt, and like what he regarded the Garden of Eden to be. So he must have thought very highly of this area to have compared it to the Garden of Eden and to the luxuries of Egypt. If Abram had in his possession the book of the generations of Adam, as has been suggested in chapter 5, verse 1, then Lot no doubt had read about the beauties of the Garden of Eden. As a youngster with his father, Haran and Ur, in the region of Babylonia, he had known the luxuries of the Mesopotamian area, and recently had been with Abram along the Nile in Egypt, and had seen those advanced living conditions. As he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, it seemed to him like the land of Egypt. Although he no doubt knew something of the wickedness of those cities of the Jordan Plain, just as he'd been able to observe wickedness in Egypt, yet he decided that that was what he wanted. He may have rationalized, as so many today do, that he could witness for the Lord there while at the same time enjoy the creature comforts that they offered. That was what Lot saw as he lifted up his eyes. Abram, on the other hand, and according to Hebrews 11:10, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abram had the promise to the land, not Lot, yet Abram allowed Lot to have his choice of land. So Lot journeyed down east toward the plain, and Abram headed back up into the hill country of Canaan. Verse 11 says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." At that time, the land of Canaan was sparsely inhabited, with most of the settlements concentrated along the sea coast, along the northern plain of Esdraelon, and here where Lot was, along the Jordanian plain. Abram had the more rugged hill country and desert country unto himself, in what is now called the Negev, usually translated by King James Version simply as the South. So now we get the picture. Lot the younger, Lot who really had no promise, chose to settle the part of the land that was more populated, that was more prosperous, that looked to him like those rich places in Egypt, that he even thought of as being like the Garden of Eden, where Abram, the one who had the promise, who allowed Lot to make the choice, now moved into the more hilly and desert area of the land, away from the populated region, more into the desolate regions. As we see which area each of these men chose, we can also begin to see what their priorities were, what they truly valued in this life, and what their true nature was. As Lot sought to be more like Egypt, Abram more like the natural area of the hill country, we see this really was a reflection on the personalities of the two men. Well, we close our lesson at that point. Next time, Lord willing, we'll begin at verse 12. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.